I can no longer back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact, what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us, and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms, and we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear.
He plays his games. We play our.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil and they're all, barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this. Exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever. Openly, Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God, like you're doing a supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women, and then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, Muslim, however, we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian construction of the American society. Everything that Christ said to us, it's all about love. And love ultimately is the act of wisdom to know that if somebody is behaving terribly, you can't.
Alex Jones, Patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Yeah, there's a storm on the loose, sirens in my head, wrapped up in silence, our circuits are dead. Can't I decode? My whole life spins into a frenzy.
All right, Dinesh D'Souza is our guest for the next hour. He's a great American, does a great job defending the West and our freedoms. But I've seen him be critical of Tucker Carlson. I've seen him kind of join in on all this. He's got a new film out we'll get into as well. And my issue is, why is Israel, with the left and now with the right, the main central issue? And then why does Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and them going on a war path against Tucker, who's just as curious and has all sorts of guests on? Why is that becoming the main issue of the Republican Party and driving a wedge? Because I see Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and Josh Hammer saying Tucker's a fox in the hen house. We need to neutralize him. And you know, Levin saying, we're going to censor you. We're going to deplatform you. We're going to do all this. It just totally turns people off and turns people against Israel. I don't want Israel to be destroyed. I'm not pro-Hamas and all this. But also understand Israel helped found Hamas. Netanyahu helped fund Hamas. Now we have the former head Al-Qaeda guy at the White House yesterday. I understand that Syria was overthrown by the West before Trump got in, but it's just like, it's crazy. And so there's got to be some nuance here to say what should be the big issues, like China and rare earth minerals and securing the border and getting jobs back and stopping inflation. But no matter what I do now on the left and all of its, you know, Mandami and all its Israel's the devil thing, and then now a lot of populists, you know, are reasonably mad about Israel first up, but it's not the main issue. And then Israel lobby comes in with the perfect way of I wanted to Streisand effect and make it the bigger issue. So I guess my argument's too sophisticated for some people. We're just supposed to mindlessly do whatever Netanyahu says, or we're supposed to be pro-Hamas. To me, this is a disaster, and it's becoming a major, infection point. And I don't want to put words into Dinesh's mouth. Maybe he can respond to this. I see him putting out videos criticizing Tucker, you know, talking about demonic attack or whatever. But I mean, he's got a book out about prophecy here. I mean, you know, Jesus talked about the principalities, you know, and Paul, the powers of the air, the evil in high places. I mean, I think good versus evil is a real thing. So, Dinesh, I'm not really having a debate with you because I think you're overall a great guy and I respect you. I think you come from things from a perspective of what you think's right. But I do think our identity as Americans is not Hamas, is not Islam, and is not Israel. And so I've been trying to, like, I got Nick Fuentes on Tucker. I've been trying to get Nick Fuentes, you know, to see where all this goes, and he was attacking Tucker, and then he does an okay interview, you know, just lets him talk, and now I feel like I blew up the munitions factory or something here. So there's a lot there. It's not simple talking points. It's complex. Where do you stand on this? What do you think America's main issue should be? Do you get where I'm going here?
For sure, Alex. And look, I think you and I have known each other a pretty long time. I think you know that I come right from the Reagan tradition straight to Trump. and I'm very much America first. And also, Israel has never been my issue. In other words, I've been 35 years in American politics. I've written about 20 books, not a single one of them, by the way, on Israel. I've made a bunch of documentary films. Almost all of them have been, in one way or another, the meaning of America. Obama, Hillary.
No, that's fair to say. You're Mr. America. You've been back in America 100%. You're a big fan.
Yeah, so my interest in Israel developed kind of in a rather odd way. I went there really for the first time 3 years ago. I don't have deep connections with Israel. I went for the first time. I was like, wow, it does feel like I'm in the land of the Bible. And what really intrigued me, Alex, was all these findings in the last couple of decades in biblical archaeology. Because of my own past work in Christian apologetics, I said to myself that all these figures in the Bible, and for hundreds of years, they were only in the Bible. You had to take them on faith.
But now they're finding it everywhere. It's all being proven.
Yeah. It's coming out of coins and stone inscriptions and seals. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing stuff.
They find the aluminum seals right where that Moses did it. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And I said also, look, there's a political lesson here, which is that whatever you want to argue about Israel, the Jews have been in this land for 3,500 years. There's no debating that because here
and
are
let's not
their...
debate. They have a very special place in God's plan.
There you go. Now, what happens is I make a film about this, which enters the political only somewhat. I take Tucker Carlson's question that he asked of Ted Cruz, which was, hey, are the Jews of today the true descendants of the Jews in the Bible? And I said, let me put that question to Netanyahu. And so I did. And Netanyahu gave a very interesting answer, talking about his ancestors. And he did a little bit of a dunk on Tucker. And what I did was I thought, look, if I'm going to post that clip, I don't want to ambush Tucker. I'll send it to him first. I texted it to him. I go, Tucker, I took your question. I posed it to Netanyahu. And this is what he said. I'm doing a very responsible thing. You raised the question with Ted Cruz in public. I'm asking the very man you mentioned, Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, to respond. And then Tucker sent me a very irritable response with some kind of genetic study claiming that the Jews of today are only like 67% connected to the ancient Israelites. And I sort of scratched my head. I'm thinking to myself, well, we don't do this with any other people, right? I mean, Alex, you and I don't go around demanding that blacks today provide genetic studies to prove that they really are from Africa. And if they can't show that they're 100% from Africa, then they're not really Africans. I mean, this kind of thing is really weird. And Tucker doesn't do it with any other group. So I kind of pointed that out to him. Now, Tucker and I had been last year together on a conference. We traveled over to a bunch of cities in Australia. We gave a lecture tour together. So we were together for about 8 or 9 days. And Tucker's like, well, Dinesh, why are you being like passive aggressive here? As if to say that in questioning him in any respect, I was either calling him an anti-Semite or somehow, you know, insulting him. And I was a little baffled. I'm like, well, Tucker, I'm just disagreeing with you. And somehow this cut off the tie between me and Tucker. Now, look, my thought about all this is we should be debating these issues. I am certainly not Israel first. I do not think that there is any immunity of the Israeli government from criticism. I think the issue of AIPAC's influence in American politics is a legitimate one to debate and discuss. I also think that the polarization between the kind of Tucker and Candace camp on the one side and the Ben Shapiro camp on the other tends to force people into one or the other. I don't know if I belong squarely in either of those camps.
Well, that was my next question. Do you agree with me that, because if I covered Israel all day, I'd have higher ratings. I don't do that. To me, there's so many other issues. I covered some. We're doing it right now. But you agree, though, this schism is not healthy.
Of course I agree. And look, what I find weird is that both sides basically say it shouldn't be about Israel, and that's all they talk about. I mean, Tucker too, to be fair, because remember, when Tucker was on Fox, was this a central topic for him? Not at all. But now if he's talking about tariffs, if he's talking about World War II, if he's talking about the atom bomb, if he's talking about Sharia, it doesn't matter where he starts. He like always has the same end point.
But I think that's where we are. So let's address this. Why is Israel the perennial, now the hottest topic? I don't think you disagree. It's like it's constant.
Well, I think it's because the issue has bounced from Israel right back into the issue of what is MAGA? Like, what is America first? What do we as conservatives believe? Now, interestingly, if you go back to the Reagan years, there was a very clear sense of who we are, what do we believe, what do we stand for. In the Trump era, it's admittedly a lot less clear because Trump is less ideological than Reagan. As you mentioned, Trump will, you know, he'll meet with Kim Jong-un. He'll sit down with the guy who's, the guy with the ISIS background who is now running Syria. Trump has no problem like sitting down and kind of strong-arming the guy and trying to figure out what he can get out of him. So we are in the Trump era in a less ideological era. And maybe for that reason, there are a lot of people on the right who are raising the question, like, what do we stand for? Is there anything that we have in common? Yeah, we're a big tent.
Evidenced by the former leader of al-Qaeda in Syria being the dictator. And I get the Democrats did it. You know, I get they overthrew it. I get, you know, Saudi Arabia's got to deal with us. But just the optics of, we all get groped at the airport over al-Qaeda, and then now here's the, you know, former leader of it at the White House. And that's where people are having a problem. And I get Trump's pragmatically just dealing with what he has, but that's what we're talking about.
Well, Reagan was pragmatic in the same way. Look, Reagan funded a bunch of Muslims who were fighting against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, right? Not because he liked Muslims, but because he realized that the enemy of my enemy is my ally, at least in the short term. Trump recognizes that in the Middle East, both with the Abraham Accords and now with the peace deal, it's nice to have some Muslims on your side. I mean, that's why he's always surrounded by Saudis and Emiratis and Bahrainis. He doesn't want to make this into a fight against Islam. And I think in that sense, he's right.
No, clearly he's trying to get peace, which I think is laudable. But I don't think the public gets the sophistication of it.
No, I agree. Now, look, let's come back for a moment to Tucker, and we don't need to focus on Tucker, but I do want to ask you.
No, we can. I mean, he's the big guy of the hour,
Yeah, I think Tucker is the main guy just because with Candace, you know, she's doing her thing. Look, I like Matt Gaetz. I go on his show all the time. I discuss with him these issues. So there's an open-minded discourse going on. Here's my question, and that is in the last really few weeks, Tucker has quite deliberately taken just a series of stances that any one by itself, you could say, well, he's just thinking independently. But if you put them together, it's a very strange pattern, right? I mean, would you expect, let's just say 3 years ago, for Tucker to say something like, you know, Sharia law is not really that bad? I mean, that's not a Tucker thing to say, and yet he said it. Would you expect Tucker to say that the socialist narco-terrorist regime of Venezuela, look, my wife is Venezuelan, she rails about this all the time, that Maduro is, quote, a conservative? Well, I mean, Maduro is a conservative if you consider Osama bin Laden a conservative.
Sure, well, I haven't seen the clip. I know you sent us one, it's like 3 seconds long. Tucker said Sharia law is not a big deal.
Yeah, Tucker's basically said, well, listen, all these people are dunking on Sharia. He goes, wouldn't I like to live in a society where there's no crime, where it's all very peaceful and orderly? He goes, that's the Sharia law that they're complaining about. What's so bad about that? So I'm paraphrasing Tucker, obviously, but that's what he was getting at. And what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, if you want to live in a society where A, you chop people's arms and legs off, and B, where people who leave Islam are sentenced to death, you will get a very orderly and homogeneous society, to be sure. But that's the ideology of ISIS. That's the ideology of
Bin Laden. I haven't seen the clip, but we'll find it and play it coming up.
You should play the clip and listen to it carefully, and you'll be like, that's odd. Again, it's not based upon one thing. Then Tucker will go on to say something like, well, you know, maybe we should have not only allied with Hitler in World War II, but the really bad guy was Churchill. Now, again, I'm all for debating World War II. I'm not saying any of this should be a closed question, but I would be... It's a little surprising thing for Tucker to say, given the intellectual tradition that Tucker and I are both.
Yeah, but his angle, like this veteran of World War II, is that why did we fight it? Because now we've been turned over to Islam. I've seen that clip. He's specifically talking about not that Hitler, an endorsement of Hitler, but why did we fight this and we just turned ourselves over to Islam? Have you seen the clip of the World War II veteran?
Well, I've seen the clip of the World War II veteran, but I want to focus on what Tucker was saying. The United States, by the way, did not get into World War II to fight the Nazis. Let's remember that Hitler invaded Poland in 1939. That's when World War II started. We did not get into it until the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor. So the United States did not get in that war just to bail out Winston Churchill. He was begging FDR to do it. FDR did not do it. The U.S. only got in when we were directly attacked at Pearl Harbor. So again, we should have this debate. I guess my problem with Tucker is he'll have these guests like the nun with the mustache or the, you know, the World War II academic. He does no critical examination, even though I've known him long enough. I know that he knows the counter arguments and the questions to raise. So people will say the most outrageous things, even when Nick Fuentes brought up Stalin. Now, I know you well enough, Alex. You're not a fan of Stalin. I mean, this is the greatest butcher of socialism of all time. This is a guy who killed more people than Hitler. How can somebody say, quote, I am a fan of Stalin, and the guy talking to him not go, wait, stop, hold on, did I hear you right? You actually approve of the greatest socialist butcher of all time, the sort of monster of the 20th century? Why is that? How would you defend that? But Tucker's like, interesting, you know, we'll come back to that, and never does. So what I see, it's the pattern with Tucker, I think, that I find disturbing. I don't want him in any way canceled or deplatformed. He has a huge platform and he'll continue to have it. I'm simply saying I don't agree with him. I don't think he really represents these days what we stand for in MAGA.
Well, I think Tucker's just completely broken with the establishment. I think he's curious. And I think, well, let's get into Mark Levin and Hammer and all them saying, you take him out like a weasel. Clearly, that's backfired on them. I mean, what do you see about that lobby coming after Tucker? Where does that go?
Well, I must say, look, I don't approve of these kinds of like cancellation campaigns. You know, Alex, when years back when I was at the American Enterprise Institute, this is going back to the 1990s. And there was some controversy around Pat Buchanan because Pat Buchanan was saying some things about Israel. And I would get people would be coming around AEI with like a big petition to like get Pat Buchanan's syndicated column canceled. And like, Dinesh, will you sign? And I was like, no, I refuse to sign because I'm not going to be a part of this. If I wanted to write an op-ed or an article about where I disagree with Pat Buchanan, I'll think about it. I'll do that myself. I don't need to sign your petition. I've never been on board with these sort of cancellation campaigns. I believe in free speech for you and for me and for Nick Fuentes and for Tucker. But believing in free speech doesn't make you immune to criticism. And I think that is really where sometimes people blur the distinction. They're like, you're trying to get Tucker canceled. No, I'm not trying to get Tucker canceled. I'm merely disagreeing with him.
No, that's definitely true. People that on the right and left, when you disagree with them, they say it's censorship. That's not censorship.
No. And, you know, let's go back to Buckley in the old days, because Buckley was a kind of a gatekeeper. I will admit that. But he was not a narrow gatekeeper. You know, the old National Review, which I experienced really just as a teenager, the old National Review was full of kooks, brilliant kooks, but they're all over the place. I mean, there were paleo conservatives and there were Southern agrarians who were against Lincoln. And there were libertarians and there were people who wanted to dissolve the state. There were traditionalists, so it was people all over the place, from Friedrich Hayek to George Will to a guy named Whitaker Chambers. And Buckley liked it. I mean, the kookier, the better. As long as you were smart and you wanted to argue, Buckley was all for it. But Buckley's point of view is, look, it's not unlimited. In other words, we don't want outright lunatics on our side, outright bigots, people who say, like, you know, blacks are like monkeys. That was not acceptable at National Review. Why? Because Buckley recognized that that would smear the entire movement. That would actually take us down. So Buckley's idea was a big tent, but not an unlimited tent. And that's pretty much my view.
My point is that Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin trying to come in and say, I can play the clips, I don't want to play them, I'm sure you've seen them. We're going to deplatform you, we're going to get you, we're going to crush you. You're a fox in the hen house. We're going to neutralize you. Is just extremely aggressive. And I don't think they realize in this hyper-aware, populist, anti-establishment movement, like if I was advising the pro-Likudniks on how to destroy themselves, I would tell them to do exactly what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. I want to believe they're smart. I don't think they're stupid. But this is like, but I get for them personally, it makes them the center of attention, just like those going after Israel. So I think that, that's a lot of what's going on here, is this is a kind of a simplification of the world down to Israel and Islam and pro-Israel, anti-Israel. My big concern is accept it, have a debate, whatever. I just want to call out the fact that there are forces on both sides of this, both in the right wing and the left. It's kind of the third ring. The left's licking their lips over this. And so I'm trying to like get a sophisticated message to people to see this and just pull back that it's not the only game in town. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And look, I'll put it this way. You know, as you know, my son-in-law is a young congressman, the youngest in the GOP. He hears from young people all the time, as I do. And a lot of these young people are very, well, to use your word, anti-establishment. They have been lied to by their professors, by their teachers. They have been lied to by the FBI, by the police state, by the CDC, by the NIH. So they are, I think, rightfully distrustful of authority. And they don't take things for granted because someone said so. I think the problem here is this, that what is happening is that some of these young people are falling for the idea that because they have been, because they have seen all these conspiracies come true, and because they have seen all these institutions lie to them, that therefore there is a sort of master manipulator, a kind of puppeteer of all the puppeteers, the person that is controlling all of this. And that is somehow the Mossad, that's Israel, that's Netanyahu, or that's the Jews. Now, my point is, I can understand how you got there, because you got there by a series of steps where a lot of institutions genuinely earned your distrust. But I don't think that that move is the correct move. Now, I'm happy to debate it. This is not a case where I think that debate should be kind of restricted or shut down in any way. I just don't think it's true. I mean, how can a country of 10 million people with a GDP that is an infinitesimal fraction of ours, that doesn't even have a fraction of the weaponry that we do, how can they possibly, quote, control us? I mean, at the same time, you have people saying things like, Israel is so dependent on us that if we don't give them $3 billion, their country will collapse. And those are the same people who say Israel is so powerful that they own every congressman and every senator.
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
Which is it?
Now we're getting the heart of the matter. Here's the bottom line. The Democrats have record low approval rating, record low fundraising. They're falling apart. There's no doubt Netanyahu and the Israel lobby that backed Trump greatly, didn't get him in, but helped because he saw the left become so anti-Semitic. They're now saying, hey, we want to run things. They're not running things. But by that attempt, it makes the cliche somewhat true in people's brains. And so then they say, oh, that's it. When now we're allied with the left, making that the only issue. I totally agree with China and all the other factions and everything. Israel's just a sliver of that, but the Israel lobby is trying at least to bully its way around the Republican Party and doing it very threateningly and stupidly, so it makes the delusion true. And then that
I think what you're saying is Alex, it's backfiring because any heavy-handed campaign is going to provoke a resistance. I don't think that the Israel lobby, by the way, is less determined or cunning or has more resources than, let's say, the China lobby or the Qatar lobby.
I think China is about five times the influence. So stay right there. Let's go over this. And again, folks, I'm not here as an apologist for Israel. I'm just like, come on. All these people waking up only know one thing, Israel. You've got to learn other stuff. And people say, oh, it's a distraction from Israel. No, it's called having a widespread. I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on. Where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because, you know, a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a lost leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much, so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime in the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Alex Jones Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at thealexjones.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own thealexjones.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there and be the news director, and we're going to continue on, and they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates, you share them everywhere, you take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money, so we sell you great products that really work, so it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high-quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back, there's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the CMOS or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWars. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I want to be 100% clear. I don't get any Israeli money, Qatari money, Ford Foundation money, any corporate money, any banker money. I sell direct products to listeners. This is 15 years ago. The left came after all my sponsors and harassed them and threatened them. So I lost them. So I said, we'll just direct sale. We kind of built the model that everybody else is using now. You have good products, and you know that's what you do with thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off a lot of the products right now. Buy one bottle of methylene blue, get another bottle free, and a free ball cap, unprecedented sale, collective murdered out InfoWars hat. But I've had the anti-Israel lobby that just makes up constant stuff and is allied with the Islamicists make up countless things about me, all crap. But I've always been fair and criticize Israel and its leaders for doing bad things. I just call balls and strikes. Like, I don't dislike the Chinese people. I think they're great, amazing, but I don't like their communist leaders. So I think, you know, Dinesh D'Souza, of a lot of people out there criticizing Tucker, is one of the most credible because he comes from a place of real discussion. That said, and I don't even want to pay attention to it, but I've been forced to, the level of hatred at Tucker from the American Zionist lobby and the Christian Zionists is foaming at the mouth, and they need to know anything old paradigm is being rejected now by young people and middle-aged folks. Maybe you got some boomers, but I'm telling you, I'm on the street, and I'm just saying this bullying stuff is not going to go well. Because, look, I'm not stupid. I think second, third, fourth order effects, okay? I don't want Israel driven from the mountains to the sea. I'm not anti-Israel. But all you that are anti-Israel, they got a bunch of nuclear weapons. They're not going anywhere. So this delusional thing to say Israel runs everything and is the only source of any problem on the earth, and to obsess over it becomes a distraction from China and the EU and the censors and the drug cartels and the fentanyl and the pedophiles and Hollywood and the left. So I'm like, intellectually, I know the public, a lot of the public, wants it easy. This football team, that football team, this hockey team, that football team. And people say, well, which side are you on? I'm on Team Humanity. So I could talk about it for hours. The point is, it's extremely frustrating. I saw this big conflagration coming years ago. I tried to defuse it on both sides. Turns out I made it worse, but whatever, I tried. And now here we are going into the midterms coming up, and this is a disaster. Because they've got the polls, that the analytics, like Israel's bigger than inflation. This is cuckoo town. This is like 8 million people or whatever. So, and I get it. Everybody gets to be a drama queen. Netanyahu gets to stay in power. Oh, we're under attack. And then the right, oh, we're under attack. And it's like everybody making this. Like, how did this happen again? It is spiritual. So here's the clip Dinesh is talking about of Tucker and Sharia law. Let's analyze it together.
But you should know, Seth, that the real danger is Sharia law. Sharia law. And you can tell when you go to a place like Abu Dhabi or Riyadh, like, oh man, I hope we don't ever wind up with a society like this with a rape rate of zero, where you leave your keys in your Lamborghini and don't ever worry about it being stolen. And, you know, if people want to get wasted, they do it at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wind up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, I mean, Sharia law is obviously just a punchline. I don't know that too many people actually believe in the reality of that. And I mean, sure, like I said, you know, I'm a lawyer. I actually studied legal philosophy. Right. Sharia is not that different from other legal codes. A lot of our own legal code, the Anglo-Saxon common law, Anglo-American common law, derives ultimately from religious authorities.
Yeah, religious authority. But I mean, we stone women to death, throw gays off buildings. So I hadn't seen that clip. I get it. I've had those talks with Tucker. He's saying the left is even a bigger threat than Islam. But I do get where you're going. And next time I talk to Tucker, I'm going to ask him about that. So that is a interesting clip.
Yeah, just responding, Alex, to what you were saying earlier. I don't think there's any of us, certainly not me, who believes that somehow Israel is immune from criticism. Just to offer two criticisms. One is, somebody was not looking at the border when October 7th occurred. There's going to need to be a big investigation about how that happened. Number two, if Israel had released the footage on October 7th, I think the world would have a much better understanding of what happened. The government of Israel chose not to do that. Had Israel carpet bombed Gaza on October 8th, I don't think that you would have gotten a whisper, or you probably got a whisper, but not, you would not have gotten the same complaints. But because the Israelis dragged it out over 2 years, they became more vulnerable to world criticism. So right here, I've just given you in 30 seconds three criticisms of Israel that I think should be made. And so this is not about giving Israel any kind of immunity. Second of all, if you were to ask me in America here to prioritize what the Trump administration should be focusing on, I would say number one, they should be focusing on prosecuting the bad guys in the Biden administration. There are a lot of them. There are only one or two of them that have been indicted.
No, I agree. They're going to come back with the vengeance, as they promised, if they're not dealt with. They're the coup. I agree. Job number one is that.
That's job number one. Job number two is to go beyond rounding up just mere criminals to finding those 5 million people who came in under Biden, under a kind of blatant wink-wink or even open invitation, and send them back. I mean, all 5 million of them. And that is not being undertaken right now. And that is a key priority. A lot of other problems would solve themselves if we did that. Then there are issues of housing. How do you buy a house today when homes that used to cost $200,000 now cost $650,000?
And the Federal Reserve won't cut rates right. So I mean, I agree with others. So let's move to that next. Solutions for America, what the big issues are with Dinesh D'Souza and your new film. So I'm not saying this to the anti-Israel crowd. I'm being completely honest, or the pro-Israel crowd. How do we move away from the central issue? I mean, it is a central issue, which is totally insane. I mean, look, okay, I'm sorry 50,000 Gazans are dead, okay? And I'm sad thousands of Israelis are dead. But a million plus dead in Ukraine could destroy the world. Like, if you look at scales, it's not even... How do we extricate ourselves from the whole Israel debate when we've got Netanyahu and all his surrogates grandstanding because they want to play victim because it keeps him in power? I mean, how do we get out of this?
Well, look, whatever Israel does and says, there are huge issues that are going on around the world. The persecution of Christians is going on right now in Sudan. It's going on in Nigeria. It's going on in Syria. I was really delighted to see Trump basically say, hey, listen, you know, either you fix the problem in Nigeria or we're going to come in guns blazing. Now, again, some people hear that and they go, oh, is this going to be World War III? But Trump is not talking here about U.S. troop involvement. He's talking about sending in SEAL Team 6 for 4 days to clean up the problem. And if we're not going to stand with the Christians around the world, who are we actually going to stand with? I mean, are we or are we not a society on a Christian foundation? And are these or are these not our Christian brothers around the world? So I agree, Israel is part of a much bigger situation. Now, obviously, if you're the president, you have to have a foreign policy. You can't say things like, forget about Israel, just focus on domestic problems, because Trump is dealing with international problems on many different fronts. But if you're telling me that domestic problems need to be a political priority, particularly going into the midterms, yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Well, I want to play a clip of Trump here from yesterday, because I know MTG. She comes in all the time. She always says, I love Trump. Overall, 90%+ good. She's only giving advice on what she thinks bad. Trump obviously doesn't see the clips. He believes the reporter and says, oh, she's an actress now. I don't know what happened to her. When all she does is preface that as she's trying to be fair. So, you know, my issue is you know, again, Trump needs to see things before he talks about it. But, you know, overall, the point is that at least as populist, conservative, Christian, nationalist, I'm proud of our party and movement that we are introspective. We do debate. We do discuss. And every time I say one thing a week criticizing Trump, it's international media. Oh, Jones turns against Trump. And it's some edited 10-second clip. That's not what's happening. And so I think it's also important for conservatives to not get mad at an MTG when she levels things that she thinks are credible, and a lot of it, you know, I think is accurate, and don't eat our own like the left does because we're not a cult. Here she is. Here's Trump.
I had a meeting with the Syrian president earlier today. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a big ally of yours, said that she would rather see you focused on nonstop domestic policy meetings here at the White House instead of nonstop foreign policy meetings. What's your response to her saying that, and also saying that grocery prices are up and not down, as you've said?
Yeah, so... I don't know what happened to Marjorie. She's a nice woman, but I don't know what happened. She's lost her way, I think. But I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally. I mean, we could have a world that's on fire where wars come to our shores very easily if you had a bad president. We had a horrible president, and we ended up with Russia, Ukraine, and we ended up with other disasters, too. Don't forget, I put out 8 wars, 9 to come. I think I'll get the other one taken care of. But I put out 8 wars. And look at the damage that Russia, Ukraine has done to us as a country. I mean, we spent $350 billion. We're not spending any money anymore. Now they pay us through NATO. You know, I got NATO to go from 2% to 5%. Well, that's very important. When you're president, you really sort of have to watch over the world because you're going to be dragged into it. Otherwise, you're going to be dragged into a world war. I think if I weren't president, that war would have never happened if I was president. And if I weren't president, that war could have led to World War III. It won't. It's not going to anymore. But when I first got in, I said, wow, this situation could lead to World War III. And I got NATO together. I got everybody together. But with all of that, I passed a great big beautiful bill, which is the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. So when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now catering to the other side, I don't know what, you know, I guess she's, you know, got some kind of an act going, but I'm surprised at her. But when somebody like Marjorie goes over and starts making statements like that, it shows she doesn't know. I don't devote a lot of my time. Let me give you.
Well, A, the media misrepresents what she's doing, but B, obviously we're all interconnected, small world, Trump's trying to stabilize the country, the dollar, all of it. I agree with what he's saying. He's right, but so is she. The media has misrepresented it, but you've got Laura Ingraham attacking Trump last night because the hot thing is to do it, not because the left picks it up, nobody watches them. The constituency, I get, wants instant gratification. They don't know how far we've moved this quick. And so people say, oh, attack Trump more. I'm like, do you understand that this is very tenuous? I will criticize where there's problems, try to get him back on the straight and narrow. But no, he's a lifeboat we're in. So it's a very narrow tightrope to walk here, in my point. And people better be very careful. I'm not talking about Green or anybody. I'm just saying in general that if Trump fails, you look at the world economy and things, it goes from bad to worse. And that's just Susan.
Yeah, look, I mean, number one, I think we know enough about Trump to realize he is a certain type of personality. He is an absolute, like, alpha male of alpha males. He hates to be criticized. And if you criticize him, he's going to lash out. I mean, that is a given. And it's very different. If you had said the same thing and it was Reagan, Reagan would have been like, well, you know, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's done a great job. But, you know, we need to have a little bit of a talking about this and so on. Well, Trump is going to be like, you're off the reservation. What's wrong with you? That is Trump's personality. Number two, Trump was making a subtle point here. I think that is that while Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, hey, Trump, you need to pay more attention to domestic issues, Trump is saying, look, these international issues and domestic issues are connected. And so when you look at an issue like tariffs, now, is that a domestic issue or a foreign issue? Well, it's a foreign issue. It involves taxing these foreign countries.
But it's even more domestic. No, he's totally right that it's not even secondary. All his international policy is 100% American-centric.
Yes, and not to mention the fact that the globalists are added internationally. So if you're going to dismantle globalism, you have to do it. You got to take on the world economic
forum. Yeah, like, is she mad that they're threatening Starmer and the EU to stop censorship? No, that's directly suing our companies.
Exactly
well,
right.
That's the thing about going to Venezuela. I didn't support these other wars. This one's constitutional. They're doing it. They're funding the Democrats. They're shipping in fentanyl. Thomas Jefferson with the Barbary War, he'd already be in there. This is the Monroe Doctrine. So my listeners get mad at me. They go, oh, now you're pro-war. No, I think it's dangerous. The CIA can set him up. I understand his thinking. Thomas Jefferson would have already hit Venezuela.
Exactly. And Trump's view is we need to have a muscular America First policy that, I mean, look, we hit Soleimani. We hit Baghdadi. Hitting Venezuela is very much in the same idea that we go out there, we clobber these guys, and we come home, and things will be better over there because that's a narco-terrorist regime. By the way, Iran, China, Russia all have their fingerprints in Venezuela. You have Iranians sitting in the Venezuelan parliament. So it's not exactly, Venezuela's become an international playground for a lot of bad guys.
Well, that's putting it lightly. They're definitely involved in election fraud. They're definitely being used as a piggy bank by the Democrats. You want to cut the Democrats off, you got to cut Ukraine. And you got to cut Venezuela off. So what about Ukraine? Where do you see that going? I mean, we've got like literal road warrior footage. The Russians are taking towns every day, cities every few weeks. They're just, they can already take the whole thing. They don't want a confrontation with NATO, but they're doing it incrementally. I'm not glad any of this happened, but Trump's trying to shut it down. Where do you see Ukraine going?
Well, I support Trump's efforts to do that. See, this is very different than what's going on with the Israel conflict because
supposed to get back to Israel. We're covering up. Exactly. We have 1 million-plus dead, World War III, nuclear war on the table by all analysts. Let's apologize, Dinesh. We're moving away from Israel here. Let's move on. And I'm being sarcastic. Yes. So what do you see? One of the biggest threats is obviously this Ukraine thing.
Absolutely. Look, all I was about to say with Israel is that Israel can fight the terrorists simultaneously in Sudan, in Gaza, in Iran, and they've done the bulk of that fighting. By contrast, in Ukraine, Ukraine is more like an ant trying to take on an elephant, or maybe a Russian bear is maybe a better way to put it. The point is Ukraine cannot even survive without it being made a proxy war for NATO. And that's really what's been going on now.
By the way, I wasn't criticizing you. I was agreeing with you. I was like, yeah, well, we should be talking the whole hour about Russia.
Exactly. And I think Trump's issue here is how do you get Putin, who is basically now on a kind of victory march, how do you get him to relent? It's, you know, when somebody is seizing territory, one on top of the other, they're not likely to want to stop. They're going to want to say, all right, Ukraine, well, you know, we got this war going. We're going to finish it on our terms. And so I think Trump is trying to figure out a way to make it in the interests of both parties to quit.
Yeah, and I know Victoria Nuland and Obama and the Democrats started it and encircled Russia. Russia's not perfect. My concern is with the vitriol, with the Russian hardliners, where this wins if we're so weak. So I'm now entering the field house of how do we actually put pressure on Russia to stop.
Yeah, normally there. Look, we have limited tools to do that, right? We've already imposed all kinds of sanctions on Russia, so our economic leverage is pretty weak. We certainly don't want to deploy more military resources over there. We want to be pulling back. The problem, I think, for us is not just what's going on over there, but there is a powerful defense complex in the United States that profits immensely from these wars. They make hundreds of millions of dollars per day with these wars continuing. And so dismantling our own domestic kind of war complex is part of what the challenge that Trump is
facing.
And
so MTG should be glad, which I know she is overall. But this is how, you know, $300 million and all the rest of it. Absolutely. Trump's doing the right thing there. But like he said, he's ended 8 conflicts. This one is really, well, let me ask you this question. You have a lot of sources. NATO talks about this 250,000 man and woman thing they're going to send in. I don't know if they're going to blink. They're talking about $800 billion they're going to spend. Germany is now saying get ready for conscription of men and women. Russia nears biggest gain since Bakhmut. Putin Magmax infantry taking over. I mean, this is, I just hope Russia doesn't get too giddy. High off of this, because this smells really dangerous.
You know, the Europeans really have lost their minds. And I say this because in the era of the Cold War, when you are actually dealing with a Soviet empire, all these European countries were sort of, they were weak. They wanted to make concessions. They wanted to make arms control
deals. They had Stockholm Syndrome.
They had the nuclear freeze movement and the peace movement and disarm now. And now that we don't have a Soviet Union, now that we are in a post-Soviet era in Russia, suddenly the Europeans have become militaristic. They want to have conscription. So these people are, I mean, it's almost like they respond in the exact opposite way that reason and common sense tells you to. When they needed to be tough, they were not. Now that they don't need to be turning up the temperature, nevertheless, they're ready to do it. They're ready to go to fight.
Well, I think that's because the EU is on the verge of collapse. I mean, they admit that. Their foreign ministers and their economic ministers say, our model's a 20-year war with Russia. We believe they'll never go nuclear, and we'll bankrupt them. Well, sorry, Russia's winning. So, oh, my God. And then all Putin wants is a deal for no NATO expansion. They won't do that. So how do you see this ending?
Well, I mean, I think we should. This is a case where that deal is probably a good deal to make. It was not a good idea from the beginning to have Ukraine being invited to be part of the sort of NATO orbit. Look, I mean, if we had a Ukraine on our back door that was once part of the United States and was being heavily armed by our adversaries, we would be nervous. I mean, in that sense, Putin's reaction is not entirely surprising, given what has happened between the Europeans and Ukraine.
And we know the history of the Russians. Once they commit, there's no going back.
Exactly. And now it becomes an issue of national pride for Putin. And this is a war he does. I mean, imagine if Putin fights with Ukraine to a draw. This would be like a heavyweight fighter getting in the ring with a lightweight and they have a draw. That's going to be humiliating for Putin. So I think, ironically, some of these issues like national pride come into play. This is something that diplomatically you have to factor in. How do you get a treaty that also in some ways appeases Putin's ego?
The problem is Zelensky won't even in NATO and their Northern Alliance won't even ever have a discussion. The red line was NATO entrance. They still want NATO entrance. It's crazy. In closing, I think you're the fairest person out there that's not been anti-Israel. You're pragmatic. I agree with you. I'm not anti-Israel. I get attacked by the Israel lobby because I won't just do whatever they say. They are their own worst enemy. In closing, how is there a way to extricate ourselves and move on to the big domestic issues, the war issues? I mean, I guess we're not going to get Nick Fuentes and Mark Levin to stop or Candace. I think Tucker came this curiosity. He got bullied. He got mad. I don't think he's doing it on purpose, but he's a great guy in my view. But definitely this is destructive for humanity. Is there any way to get this to stop? Because it seems to me like drama queen world where, you know, anti-Israel is the center of the world. pro-Israel is the center of the world, and it's not the center of the world.
Look, I mean, as you know, I did a debate with Nick. I think with Nick, he likes to say outrageous things. I don't even think he's a real Nazi in the sense that he's not going to do the things the Nazis did. And I think you know that. Nick knows that. I know that. But
well, he says all the time he's edgelording. He says he's being catty.
Right. But the point is, you also have to remember that this is, in fact, a political millstone that will be hung around our neck. So if we basically start joking around with Nick and don't say, hey, Nick, listen, whatever you're saying, that's not what we stand for as Republicans. It's important to say that. Why? Because otherwise the Democrats are literally going to run commercials in which you have Nick Fuentes saying, you know, listen, you know, Hitler was really a great guy. Stalin was really a great guy. And this will appear to be the position of MAGA or America First. They will wrap it around us. They will tie it around
our
neck.
Sure, but what I'm saying is the pro Likudniks know they're adding nitrous oxide to the fire. Like, they're not stupid.
We do need, I think, in my view, it's really important to open up a discussion with young people where they're allowed to say, and Charlie was actually starting to do that, by the way, particularly toward the end, say what you want. Let's hear it out. And let's see if we can have a movement without gatekeepers, or if we need gatekeepers, where are those lines to be drawn? That's the debate I think we have next. We've got some time to straighten this out before the midterms. I agree with you. We don't want this to continue indefinitely, but I think we can be mature enough to sort it out.
I totally agree. I know you got to go, and I didn't hold this to the end to hold you over. We got a two-minute break. I want to play the trailer for your new film, The Dragon's Prophecy, and I've got the book here with the new film. I'm a big fan of all your films, watched all your films. Can you have 5 more minutes with us?
Sure.
All right. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. Then the supposed January 6th mastermind, good friend of mine, former Ron Paul staffer, lawyer, Army Ranger. We're going to have the great Stuart Rhodes in studio with all this pipe bomber news coming out and more coming up. Don't forget, before we come back with Desha Souza, play this trailer, get a comment from him, and then bring in Stuart Rhodes, that I am not getting funded by Qatar or Israel or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you at thealexjonesstore.com, the very best supplements. We have the big sale going on right now, a murdered out limited edition InfoWars black on black hat, free with every order. And on top of it, buy one bottle of methylene blue tincture or pills, one bottle free. It goes for 48 hours till Thursday night at midnight. I extend it because of Veterans Day. We're going to have the ball cap, which is always a big sale. We've done it a few times. You know, people love it, a free ball cap with every order. High quality Richardson hat. But now you get buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue, get one free. That is amazing. We got the best, folks. It will blow you away. It's so good for you. Such great energy, so much more. So take action now, thealexjonesstore.com, and get buy one, get one free methylene blue and a free ball cap with every order. We're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy. Literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Can I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you ultramethylene blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No, you hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking-ass. They're the biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally, it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks. This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed, stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away.
Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt.
and this methylene blue really rocks.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.